Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, today's show is brought to you in part by Omaha Steaks. Make your house your favorite new restaurant this spring with Omaha Steaks delivered straight to your door. You ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so damn good? Well, of course, I've got the answer for you. It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks are aged at least 21 days, and that's where all the magic happens. Try these mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Bestsellers package. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the promo code VOICES into the search bar to save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing. Included in the Butcher's Bestsellers package are 4 iconic fork tender butcher cut filet mignons, 4 ultra juicy burgers, 4 savory pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, my favorite thing in the world, and so much more. In addition to getting more than 50% off, you also get 4 more chicken breasts and 4 more of those delicious burgers for free. All you have to do is visit omahasteaks.com, type VOICES into the search bar to order the Butcher's Bestsellers package today. Save over 50%, plus get 4 free chicken breasts and 4 burgers for free, all from the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years. That's omahasteaks.com, type VOICES into the search bar. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I stand before you defrocked, condemned to be a member of this lowest of species, a normal, imperfect, lumpen human being.
They made you human as part of your punishment.
No, it was my request. I could have chosen to exist as a Markovian sea lizard, or a Belzoidian flea. Anything I wished, as long as it was mortal. And since I had only a fraction of a second to mull, I chose this.
Sir, he is reading as fully human.
What, is there an echo in here?
I am sensing an emotional presence, Captain. I would normally describe it as being terrified.
I have no powers! Cue the ordinary.
Cue the liar. Cue the misanthrope.
Cue the miserable. Cue the desperate. What must I do to convince you people?
Die.
Oh, very clever, Worf. Eat any good books lately?
Bob Seska!
We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show.
Point of fact, a lot of Q adherents are also Markovian sea lizards. I just wanted to mention that. It's just something I noticed. From a nation's capital, it is Tuesday, March 30, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 70 of the Biden-Harris administration. 587 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Oh, look, it's Buzz.
When you say Buzz.
You've said it all.
Hi, hello.
I don't care if he's doing weddings now. No Trump.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we'd like to thank everyone who didn't come to our pandemic is over party. Because, you know, it's not.
Right.
I'm doing well, though. I'm holding up well. My health is good. I did have a procedure yesterday.
Oh, no.
They successfully removed an obstruction from my Suez Canal. If you've ever Experts say it was much, much easier to remove that stuck ship than, say, Andrew Cuomo. Stuck. Yeah. I see Republicans in Georgia have banned giving food. You probably saw this too. Mm. Georgia Republicans have banned giving food and water to people standing in line to vote.
Yep.
Apparently, they couldn't find a way to shut off the oxygen.
Rat bastards.
A voting machine company, Dominion, is suing Fox News for over $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
For the lies that Fox told during election season.
Mm-hmm.
And by my calculations, that comes to about a dollar a lie.
That's exactly right. Well done.
And stick around. Be sure to stick around later in the show. Dr. Deborah Birx will be here to tell us how last week's shows could have been better.
Bob Seska Show.
It's Rocky Mountain Mike.
And you may find yourself living in a redneck state. And you may find yourself voting in a racist part of the world. And you may find yourself at the end of a large voting line. And you may find yourself thirsty or hungry. And you may find your friends getting arrested for bringing you food or water. Well, how did we get here?
In the election line.
No more bringing you some water.
Getting our throats on dry.
No more water flowing down.
Can't have a Canada dry.
No more sparkling soda water.
It takes a lifetime.
Yeah, to get your voting done.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Can I get me a Zima?
Oh, great Rocky Mountain Mike. Well done, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. I love it.
Rocky _ Mountain _ Mike on Instagram. Go follow him right now. God damn it. Oh, shit. Well, where do we begin here? I just want to say something about this Georgia election law, since this Rocky Mountain Mike song parody was all about that. We're all talking about this water in the lines part of the law. I just had this weird revelation the other day, Buzz, that...
Yes.
Is this a head fake? Is this something to get us to talk about that part of the law so that no one is protesting the part of the law that eliminates Sunday voting, you know, rolls back early voting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
No, what it does, and I think it will have this value in court as well, Bob, what it does is reveal nakedly the true intent of this entire law.
Yeah.
You know, they can make their... honest elections argument about one thing or another. They're wrong, they're lying, of course, but what they're not going to get away with any voter, Republican or Democrat, is this idea of denying food and water to people in line to vote.
It underscores
how ridiculous that is. And it's not even if this were a negotiation, we'd say, okay, well, if you take that part out, we got a deal. We wouldn't do that either.
Yeah.
But I think it makes it harder for the public and much harder for a judge or a jury to decide that that there's legitimacy to any part of this law in terms of its intent.
The reason I was thinking that is when I was doing a sketch comedy show for VH1, we would do that all the time. We would write a sketch in which we had a very specific joke that we wanted to do, but it was a risky joke. So what we would do is insert an extreme joke right before it and get the network to be talking about the extreme joke and completely miss the joke that we wanted to have. And so we would eliminate the extreme one. They would forget about the other joke. And there you have it. We get the joke that we want on the show. So I was thinking
after removing the egregious joke, they feel you're negotiating really essentially. And they feel like, well, we gotta let everything else go or they're going to just think we're censoring the whole show.
Right.
So they take the one. It's a matter of choosing your battles.
Gotcha.
And but this was a stupid thing to include because it does call attention to the unfairness and the intent of the whole law, and that's going to mean a whole lot in court, and the lawsuits have already been filed by the NAACP and the League of Women Voters and other voting rights groups.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the specific, how are they correlating bringing someone water in a line to vote with voter fraud? I'm not quite, the justification is weird. I understand what they're trying to do ultimately,
right,
but I don't understand the connection, the A to B connection that they're making there. It's weird.
Yeah,
to me.
It's troll logic, to be sure. Yeah. Equals profit. You know, absolutely.
I don't understand it. It just makes no sense to me. And you know what? Something else that doesn't make any sense to me. Actually, you know what? I take that back. It makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yes, there you go.
The Q continuum, the Q adherence, QAnon, this whole deal that we've been talking about for some time now. Kimberly and I just sat down to watch the new Q Into the Storm documentary series on HBO. We saw the first episode the other night. I think they're now four episodes in, so we're a little bit...
I watched the first one last night, yes.
Okay, so this is, holy shit, very obviously, to anyone with a brain in their heads, this is very obviously a scam to get more traffic to 8chan and before it 4chan. This was something that is almost like a publicity stunt. That's what it seems to me as if. But the thing that it's exposing that's really distressing to me and only adds to my cynicism post-Trump, looking back at the status of the mental condition of the American situation. There are so many badly impressionable, obsessive, paranoid people out there with way too much free time. That's the big takeaway that I had. And some of them, I have three words for some of them. Fetal alcohol syndrome.
It's lead paint. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
kicked in the face by a mule.
Well, actually, I do know. I want to underscore again, we, as I've said on previous shows, and I'll keep hammering this. Number one, we must crush the disinformation. I don't care why Q exists or that it's exists for profit. I do care about the hatred and ignorance that it spreads.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why that can't be shut down.
I
really don't. And the disinformation on Fox News, this $1.6 billion lawsuit, the latest $1.6 billion lawsuit from Dominion Voting Systems against Fox News, similar to the lawsuits filed against Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell for the lies they told about Dominion trying to harm its reputation in the business.
Yeah.
They have to pay for that, and they will pay for that. These are the kinds of things we have to do to begin to crush disinformation. That's job one. Job two is quickly and aggressively improve and expand education, because it's our failure to attend to education that got us into this in the first place. It provided fertile soil. Ignorant minds provided fertile soil for crap like this to come along. And I'm as angry about the existence of Q and the idea that somebody's doing it for profit as anybody else. I also know that... Again, this is a minority of Americans. It's millions of people from what we're learning from this documentary.
Yeah.
Maybe tens of millions, and that's frightening. I guess we should have thought about that when we ignored the educational system, okay? My question to everyone is, okay, what do we do about it?
Yeah, yeah.
And the only answers I know, and I'm open, the only answers I know are A, shut down disinformation, and B, aggressively pursue education.
Well, and here, by the way, I've got this great music to talk about Q, and this is from the movie JFK. But here's the thing. I wonder whether shutting down 8chan or 4chan, which is where basically Q as a character started on 4chan, and then 4chan shut it down, and then Q appeared on various discussion forums on 8chan. Right. Which just seems like a maelstrom of insanity. If you go to 8chan, it's just this weird place. So my concern is you shut down 8chan and then suddenly 16chan or 32chan appears.
I don't know. It's
whack-a-mole, you know?
I happen to be very good at whack-a-mole, and I know prosecutors and others are as well.
Yeah.
If that's what we have to do, then that's what we have to do. But we can't, what are we supposed to do? Sit idly by and let this continue? I've always been a free speech guy, but we've got a real serious problem here.
Yeah.
This isn't just somebody stating an unpopular opinion. This is millions of people believing fantasy, the farthest-fetched fantasies you've ever heard.
For example, we learned in this documentary that You know, the rumor, the conspiracy theory around Comet Ping Pong, this pizza place in Washington, D.C., very popular pizza place. And obviously with the Pizzagate thing, it was all about the celebrities and politicians keep all their babies in a dungeon under Comet Ping Pong, and then they go there and they drink the adrenochrome out of the babies. Very, very anti-Semitic, by the way. The whole origin of this conspiracy.
So.
Yeah. And so we learned during this documentary that, there is no basement under Comet Ping Pong.
And actually, that's been public knowledge for several years now. It actually has. I'm glad that more people are learning simple facts like that, because facts are losing the war against disinformation. And this whole Q thing just spreads it. Here's what I know, and I'll just insert this, and then we can go back. But I know that 75% of the American people approve of Joe Biden's vaccination, his handling of the vaccines.
Yep.
And that 60% of Americans approve of his handling of the economy. We've got this. You know, now, yes, we have a too large minority. 25%, 30% of the country, I don't know how much, we've lost to disinformation and lies. And Fox News continues to tell them as we speak. This is the real problem. I mean, it's a real problem that must be acknowledged and addressed. Fortunately, it's not the rule. It's not the majority yet or currently.
Well, and that's great news, obviously. I don't think it's ever going to be the majority. I think as long as it's enough, though, to make a difference. And we've seen over the past year or so more and more Q adherents making their way into lawmaker status. We've got,
yes, that's the worst.
We've got members of Congress now and so on. And they believe this absolute fiction. So basically, for those of you who don't know, you're just catching up. And I will say this too. I'll preface all of this by saying that, you know, I was only tangentially following what was going on with Q. Watching this documentary filled in a lot of information that I was unaware of in terms of its origins. Every day there's a new set of what are called Q drops, where this Q character, which is completely fictitious. There's some
almost
guy who runs,
maybe
the guy who runs 8chan. I think I read somewhere that the guy, Q, is actually the guy who runs 8chan. And so this guy appears as Q and posts these cryptic messages about the storm is coming and look out and pay attention, pay close attention. And then there's all these code words and symbols and things like that that then send all of the followers, all the people who are there and eagerly anticipating another Q drop, off and away to search, what does he mean by this? And then they start correlating. Almost like, again, I always use this analogy, this metaphor of a guy in a lonely basement bedroom with like post-it notes all over the wall and a map with yarns between thumbtacks and newspaper
like
clippings. And
it's like that.
Like that.
Historians and sociologists will tell you that it is not uncommon for conspiracy theories to thrive during a pandemic.
That's right.
The pandemic provides fertile soil for these conspiracy theories as well.
Yeah.
The real fertile soil was the lack of education. Mm. And we can start fixing that now, or we can sit around and whine about, you know, the fact that we're dealing with these people now. Again, I pose the question, what are you going to do about these people? What can anyone do about these people?
Well, I think the more that we're aware of what they're doing and who they are, so that we can recognize the warning signs, because what we're talking about here are maybe members of our own families, friends, people we used to know who have been drawn in by this. And it doesn't take a whole lot to be drawn in from this. And one common denominator among all of these people is a very intense Christianity, where they actually believe that there is a guy who lives under the earth named Satan, who helps to facilitate the eating of babies and so on. These are all things. If you watch that documentary, and again, I'm not necessarily indicting Christians here. What I'm saying is, intense, devout Christianity seems to be a common denominator among all of these people. But if you watch the documentary, you can notice the crucifixes on the walls of all the people who are part of that discussion forum. And that seems to be, it's about crucifixes, it's about gods and guns, right? That's what they're all about. Mm-hmm. And so when this Q drops a message, and then there's these cryptic elements to the message, then all of these people spend days and nights of their copious amounts of free time searching for what those messages mean, where they're correlating, you know, did Trump said something that was similar to what Q said in the drop, and they're matching up the timestamps of the different things, and the, you know, even down to some of the images that Trump would post on Twitter, they would cross-reference the file name of the Twitter image with something that the Q character had posted on 8chan. So this is a massive collective of people who are just engaged in this. And you know what? It's really ultimately like an online video game that they believe is real.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's tied in with video games, in fact.
So I'm curious with this documentary series, because the last thing I said was, how are they going to get like four or five more episodes out of this?
Yeah, because that's what I thought. I was wondering how they were going to finish the first hour. I was at about 45 minutes in, I'd had enough and vowed I would not be watching the rest of the series. I got the picture. I got the idea.
Yeah.
I, you know, my question to everyone is, yeah, but what are we going to do about it?
Right, sure.
And being aware, fine, it's good. And maybe I've read more about it than most people have, and maybe this will expose some people who wouldn't otherwise have been exposed to this information. And if it does that, that's a good thing. Mm. But for me, it doesn't hold any value except to remind me of our failure in education and our failure to rein in disinformation. Yeah. And what are we going to do about it?
Well, and I had a slightly different takeaway, but there's some overlap, which is that, and this is something that I've been saying for quite some time now, the internet, I think, came along too early in our human evolution. And I will say until the day I die. The internet was too soon. Why? Well, all you got to do is look at the number of people, the vast number of people on this planet who don't know how to process information that they see. And it is a lot of information that we're bombarded with every day. I mean, remember, just in my lifetime, there was no internet in the 70s and 80s and most of the 90s.
It was a simpler time.
It was a simpler time.
As I said before, the evolution of this was, first came 24/7 cable news. That was the first really bad thing that happened to our discourse. And the second was, of course, the internet. And I think perhaps to our greater, even greater detriment than cable news had brought.
Well, and also we've seen this sort of thing. We've covered this sort of thing on this podcast in particular with Dan Badon years ago, and the whole InfoWars cinematic universe surrounding Alex Jones, because obviously there are a lot of overlap between the InfoWars universe and the Q adherence. It's one and the same. I mean, Alex Jones co-ops all of this crap, right? So he's like, oh, okay, we're talking about this now. But also some of it is actually drawn from Alex Jones. Alex Jones has been talking about a satanic lesbian cabal, you know, organizing to take over the world. That's right. He's been talking about that for years and years now. But I think, you know, my observation is, in terms of education, is to figure out a way to make it easier for people to understand the information they're being bombarded with. Because we went from zero to Mach 1 with information as human beings across the world. I mean, it's just not the United States. It's around the world that this is starting to spread. And so it's a global phenomenon. With the internet comes this glut of constant bombardment, information just coming at us all the time. We don't know what's real, what's fake. And to make us better consumers of information, I think at the very least would go a long way toward not bottling this problem, but containing the next one before it happens.
Better education, teach critical thinking.
Yeah.
Teach people the difference between a credible news source and somebody stating an opinion. And if I may say so, I got up in a good mood this morning until I turned on the Twitter machine and I saw progressives saying things that pissed me off. And
shocking.
And I know, well, I'm not used to that. I don't like that. We're all supposed to be on the same team. But we have people on our side spouting disinformation, saying, you know, law enforcement has forgotten to punish Lindsey Graham. No, Lindsey Graham is being investigated. You're lying. You're spreading disinformation. You're speaking with your emotions instead of speaking with facts. Facts are not feelings. Feelings are not facts. And it happens on our side as well as on the conservative side. And I think to some degree we've picked up that bad habit from conservatives.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's my cause. So my mood quickly turned sour this morning when I saw so many people spreading things that aren't true.
I thought you were going to say Glenn Greenwald, too.
I wrote him off long ago.
Good man. You've been reading my work, then.
Yeah. And you know, and you were talking about the overlap queue and all that, and then you have Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, on Steve Bannon's InfoWars show saying Trump will take office now in August. And it's just like what we talked about in previous shows. They keep moving the goalpost. You know, he's going to be back in the White House on January 21st. He's going to be back in the White House on March 1st. No, none of this is coming to pass. Now they've moved. Now, oh, okay, August. Okay, it's going to be August now. You know, but he'll be there. You just hang on. Just a couple of months away.
It's got all the earmarks of a cult, whether we're talking about Q or the people, the red hats who surround Donald Trump. It all sounds like, you know, the Heaven's Gate cult and some of these doomsday Nostradamus people are like, yeah, the world's going to end on May 14th. You just watch. May 14th, 2020 is going to be the end of the world as we know it. And then May 12th, 2020 rolls around and it doesn't happen. And they go, oh, we meant August 20th. That's right.
Education takes time. Legislation takes time. Maybe what we need right now are psychiatrists, psychologists, and sociologists to come forward and tell us how to deal with this problem. I am so open to ideas here. Right. But I don't want to just talk about it. Fine, spread awareness, great. Everybody should know the threat that Q poses, no doubt. But a bigger question, what do we do about it? How do we stop it?
Yeah.
And we need somebody to help us. If ever we needed Batman, we need him now.
Oh, yes, and I'm here to help because, as you know, I am Batman. But
that's correct.
You know, the thing that I noticed online, there was someone who was trying to draw a correlation between legal marijuana and the paranoia that fuels these conspiracy theories. And of course, that's all bullshit, right?
But Bob, what if they're putting something in the marijuana?
There you go. That's the conspiracy. But, you know, I was thinking along the lines of maybe there's a correlation between the opioid crisis and the number of people who are, you know, locked into these conspiracy theories, who have ceased to think critically, who just have no link to rationality or reason. Yeah. And I'm wondering if there is some sort of overlap there. And I know there have been some studies that maybe there is a connection, but it's really hard to make that. I would imagine it would be immensely difficult to draw some sort of Venn diagram overlap between opioid abuse and the Q adherence, QAnon, et cetera.
I certainly think there's a geographical overlap. I think there's a socioeconomic overlap, to be sure. That's an interesting question. It does seem that some of the same people who buy into these conspiracy theories would also buy meth. It seems very credible. I don't know what the numbers are on that. That would be interesting. It really gets down to education.
Yeah, it does. Well, and also, again, we're talking about the creation of the internet, people, as more and more people use the internet, and that number seems to be increasing year over year. Mm-hmm. I remember even back in the late 90s when I first started working on the internet, there were obviously lots of conspiracy theorists and conspiracy theory websites all over the internet, and that was one of the first things I ended up noticing.
Some of them were about radio shows.
Yes, they were. And
yes, the chat rooms.
Yes. And you know what? Some of the conspiracies involved my dad. This is the weirdest thing. Because my dad was a relatively high-level official in the Treasury Department. In fact, he retired as the acting Inspector General of the United States Treasury.
Wow.
And so that was as high as you can get without being a political appointee. That's how far up he got. And of course, my dad's side of the family, all Italian. My dad was also Deputy Inspector General of the Treasury during all of the Clinton scandals. And so he was involved tangentially in investigating things like Whitewater and so on. And then he was also involved in the Waco thing. He had to testify before Congress about that.
Wow.
And so in the wake of all of that, the conspiracy theory was that my dad was the highest ranking mafia official in the United States government.
Well, sure.
Which is just, if you knew my dad, you would know that that is absolute bullshit, obviously. But I found that to be immensely entertaining. And you know what? So did he, because of course, I immediately told him, and he's like, oh, that's a, I don't understand that one. You know,
and, then, and then you kissed his ring.
He said, there is no mafia, he said. No, I'm kidding. That's the Tony Soprano excuse. Yeah. But yeah, that was my first experience delving into, because I, you know, one of the first things I did when I first logged onto the internet, for the very first time, I think it was 1996 or 7. Uh-huh. The first thing I did when I logged in was search for my own name. And my dad has my same name. So that was one of the first results that came up, which is this conspiracy theory.
You were destined for trouble.
Yeah, yeah. But it was very fringy, and no one really paid any attention to that shit. But now it's this whole thing. Where, yeah, but again, there's a content creation, traffic-driven element to this, where people want more traffic, more eyeballs, more reach for their bullshit. And what this sounds like to me, ultimately, just to put an end cap on this Q discussion, it sounds like the same kind of argle bargle that you see on any discussion forum anywhere else on the internet, whether you're talking about politics or comic book movies or cooking shows or reality shows or what. It's the same kind of headbutting that you see in any discussion forum, where it's a fiefdom and people are constantly vying for power over the other people. And it's
and they're fighting over nonsense.
Yeah.
They're fighting over gobbledygook.
That's right. Right. That's
right. They're fighting over things that are not real. And, you know, it doesn't make making the gobbledygook more intricate doesn't make it any more or less true.
That's right. Well, and there was a great episode also of The West Wing. There are many great episodes of The West Wing, of course.
I thought you were going to say Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, yes, that's right.
West Wing.
The Seinfeld reference is something that Buzz and I were talking before the show, and none of you are allowed to know what that is, so it's an inside reference. But in terms of The West Wing, there was a great episode where Josh Lyman, as a B-plot in the show, got involved with a discussion forum that was all about him. It was called Lemon Lyman. And so as Josh is trying to figure out how to communicate with the members of this discussion forum, all of the commentary about how the forum is organized and how the people behave in it is just exactly what you see in the 8chan forums where Q appears. It's all that same kind of crap. This, to me, is nothing new. It's not surprising at all. This is the kind of shit that you see in discussion forums and Twitter groups and Facebook groups all the fucking time. It's just the way things happen online. And so, but this one happens to be toxic and racist and anti-Semitic and all the rest of it. So there's extra layers to it.
Well, just to finish this off, if anybody can come forward to the Bob Seska Show and provide us a way to deal with this ignorant, misguided, misinformed, large segment of people, we will give you a car.
Thank you, Bob Barker. It's a brand new car. And so, yeah, well, this is a great idea. Actually, go to the go to our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. I think you can comment if you're not a member. I'm not. You know what? I'm not sure if that works or not.
Car may be very small.
That you have to sign up at our Patreon page and leave us your comments, comments and suggestions in terms of how to defeat Q and the Q adherence.
Seriously, I'd like to know. I hope somebody knows. Somebody somewhere.
Yeah. Well, of course, as they say always, sunlight is the best disinfectant. And so the more we know, the better we're empowered to actually do something about it. So
the more we know.
There you go. And speaking of our Patreon page, let's talk about the after party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth podcast for the week, but this one's totally different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows.
I'll say.
Yep, the Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the crap we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month. And by the way, you're also going to get two post-mortem shows every week included in that level of support. What more do you want? That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
yeah, it's my friend Freakbass. Brand new single here called The Maze. Freakbass.com. Also on lead vocals here, Sammy Garrett, my favorite singer, favorite funk singer, favorite singer all around. Love Sammy. I got to talk to Sammy about the Snyder Cut on Freakbass' Saturday Night Chit Chat the other, it was over a week ago. Wow, time really flies. again, freakbass.com, bobsesca.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. And we have a brand new Indie Music Countdown coming up. You know, here's what I've decided to do with the Indie Music Countdown this weekend, because we've entered into this weird, we're in a weird month where the month ends midweek. So that makes it a little awkward. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I decided to wait until this weekend. But you know what? I feel like putting the Indie Music Countdown out on Sundays kind of short shrifts it, because Sunday is a kind of a dead zone when it comes to internet traffic. So you know,
it would be a great Saturday show. What do you have in mind?
Saturday. I was thinking Monday. Doing it on Monday and then releasing it like mid-afternoon on Monday instead of Sunday, just seeing how that works out.
That's the one weekday you don't release a show, so that would be you'd be up to five a week.
There you go.
Of your own, not to mention the others you do.
Yeah, exactly. So 1 week out of the month I'll be doing five shows a week, which is normally what I was doing anyway, but it'll be Monday instead of Sunday. So it'll be the Monday, the day after Easter, is when that'll all go down. So that's,
well, whatever you do, download it, listen to all of them, just put it on, let them track from one to another. It's the greatest soundtrack you'll find. And Freak Bass brings the funk.
Yeah. Oh god, I love Freak Bass, and I love Sammy. I love the Bump Assembly. And see here, one of the things I'm thinking about doing too is, I was thinking back to all the great music that we've played on the Indie Music Countdown, played here on the show, premiered on the show, and I was going, you know what, I'd love to play some of that music again. And so what I'm thinking about doing for the month of April is doing a rewind month where I play all the music from a previous month, like go back to like 2019 or the first part of 2020 or something like that, pick a really good month of music, of indie music, and replay all of those songs in the same order throughout the month of April. So I think I'm going to give that a shot, and we'll see how that all works out. And then, of course, we'll go back to playing some new stuff the following month after that. But, you know, I think it makes sense to give some of those older songs another go around, because it's such great music, and it's such great music to leave it to be disposable like that. You don't want to just toss it out. So
yeah, they're too great to just hear one time.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly. So let's get back into things here on the show, on our Tuesday show with Buzz. God, that horrible anti-trans bill in Arkansas. I want to talk about that a little bit. Because this is more posturing. You know, the Republicans always come down on Democrats, liberals, their, you know, their definition of the woke people and so on. They always talk about how we're always virtue signaling. Well, no one virtue signals more than the Republicans. My God. And this piece of legislation is absolutely virtue signaling. This is all about a gigantic social issue, wedge issue, to stir up all the red hats and get them out to vote and to tell them, hey, look, we're still on your side. We're still just as bigoted as you are. Join us.
It's a bill. Yeah. It's a bill they felt they had to pass to answer the zero complaints they've had to deal with on this subject matter. It is, as a number of people have put it, a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, which is, by the way, typical. Republican election reform is a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, and in the case of Georgia, is its own problem.
Yep, exactly. And this also speaks to the anti-trans bathroom bills, which were all just wedge issues, too. There were no issues about people pretending to be trans so they can go in and perv out in a women's bathroom. That's just not a thing, and it's never been a thing. I don't think there have been any prosecutions along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't see it on the news. You didn't see it on Next Door, because it didn't happen. It hasn't happened. We're addressing an imagined problem that doesn't exist. It's pandering to the base.
Yep.
And instead of addressing the problems of the day.
It's like voter fraud or late-term abortion. Made-up problems that the Republicans have also invented a solution for. That's completely unnecessary. Yeah.
And trans bathrooms. Yeah,
trans bathrooms. So this bill in Arkansas is titled the Arkansas Save Adolescents from Experimentation act or the safe act, right?
That's gonna work because I think just passing a law will make all adolescents stop experimenting. I think this is gonna solve the whole thing.
And it so totally works with alcohol and marijuana, doesn't it? It's always been
Romeo
a thing.
And
sex,
Juliet,
premarital and, sex and all the rest of it. Yeah, as soon as you make it wrong, that teenagers just go, well, I guess it's wrong, so I'm not gonna do it. No, it makes people want to do it more, actually. But this is different insofar as we're talking about people's identities and who they are as a person. So it is vastly different than just some fun thing that you do on the weekend with your friends.
It's another form of direct discrimination. I mean, this is a law saying, yes, you can, and to deny health care to trans teens, they have done also. Mm. I don't know if Governor Hutchinson is going to sign this bill or not.
Yeah.
He probably will. It most certainly will be struck down in court. Why do we have to keep going through this?
So the
because it panders to the base.
That's exactly right. That's entirely what it's all about. The bill would prohibit doctors from providing minors with treatments including puberty blockers, hormone therapies, or any transition procedures. Doctors who flout the law could lose their licenses, and patients that have been receiving medical care would have it cut off immediately. Here's the thing about all of that. First of all, most doctors won't do gender reassignment surgery on anyone under 18 years old. That's already a thing among doctors. So that makes one part of the law completely unnecessary, but that's not the point anyway. And we're also talking about completely reversible hormone therapy. So, you know, someone engages in hormone therapy and they find out after years or months or whatever it is, maybe I'm not really trans. And then they want to reverse that. So they can. They can reverse. They can stop taking the hormones. And so everything goes back to whatever their perception of normal is. So this law is completely unnecessary. Again, as you said, Buzz, it's all about pandering to the red hats and making sure the red hats know, oh, the Republican Party is still on our side going after all those, you know, kids.
And in the process, real people suffer. People who pay taxes, who work jobs, who raise children suffer for this little show that Republican politicians feel they have to put on for the Republican base while ignoring the problems of the day. Yeah. President Biden and the Democrats are paying attention and dealing with the problems of the day while Republicans talk about Dr. Seuss and the trans threat that threatens the foundation of America. Yeah. Good God.
Yeah, it's more punching down from the Republicans, isn't it?
We're
going to demonize a very small segment of the population, a very vulnerable, bullied, suicidal segment of the population, a segment of the population that is now seeking more tolerance and seeking more understanding, and they're turning it around and punching these people in the face.
A segment of the population that is more vulnerable than most to violence, to acts of violence out of hatred. A trans person is, I think, a much more likely target for street bullies than even being just a gay person at this point, or being a black person or an Asian person, although all are at risk. I don't know anybody who's maybe more at risk of suffering violence than transgender people.
That's right. The whole theme of CPAC this year was all about cancel culture. Like, well, we hate cancel culture. What are they doing here? Canceling trans people. Absolutely 1,000%. So they're all about, I mean, they've been engaged in cancel culture since fucking Reconstruction, since Jim Crow. Jim Crow was cancel culture writ large. We're going to cancel black people.
And it lives today in the latest Georgia law for voters.
Exactly.
It's aimed, obviously, clearly aimed at black people. The Arkansas law is very, very clearly aimed at trans people.
Yeah.
It's beating everybody down. These are Democratic voters as well.
Well, and the lack of knowledge when it comes to science on behalf of the Red Hat movement in this country, certainly the Red Hat entertainment entertainment complex loves to demonize the science, and or in fact, they love to ignore the science. Is what they love to do,
and they get away with it because of our failure in education. I just have to say that.
Absolutely,
that's why.
So now the good news is that the Biden White House is now investigating whether Trump altered scientific research, government scientific research, to suit his political agenda.
We know they did.
Yeah, Jane Lubchenco, the director for climate and the environment, told the New York Times this week, "We know that there were blatant attempts to distort, to cherry pick, and disregard science. We saw that across multiple agencies." Joe Clement, the former Interior Department official, testified in 2019 that he was transferred from a role focusing on climate to accounting, while Maria Caffrey testified that the department pressured her to remove references to human causes of climate change from a report on how sea level increases would affect national parks. So a couple of great examples of what Donald Trump was trying to do, sculpt the science to suit his bullshit agenda. And so,
and we knew that.
Now finally, we're seeing, and I shouldn't say finally, I mean, we're only 70 days into the Biden administration, but this is one of the investigations that needed to take place, the Trump war on science. And now the Biden White House is trying to correct all of that by engaging in this investigation. So thank fucking God that that is
there
going
will
on.
Be, there will be an encyclopedia's worth of information yet to come out, which is going to make it hard for any of it to stand out, really, other than the worst presidency the country's ever seen.
Yeah. Along the same lines, because we're talking about the climate crisis here and the science behind that. That was the main thrust of what Donald Trump was trying to do while he was president, to mute that climate science. And we
knew that, and that'll all be documented now in that encyclopedia's worth of information.
Absolutely. So now the good news is, more good news, is that Joe Biden plans to expand wind farms along the East Coast in an effort to jumpstart the growth of a zero-emission power source to fight climate change. Great fucking news. The plan to generate 30 gigawatts. 30 gigawatts. Great Scott. I want to say gigawatts because of Back to the Future. 30 gigawatts of offshore wind power by the end of the decade.
Power for like 10 million people, I believe. You know what? I have to tell you what struck me when I drove back to Kansas in January to take care of my folks and driving back again. Normally, when you drive through Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, you'd see oil rigs everywhere. Growing up on car trips, all I saw were oil wells.
Yeah.
You know, the little pumpy things going up.
Yeah, it looked like dinosaurs, yeah.
Yeah, right. And you'd see those, and they were small many times, but they were just all over the landscape. You'd see them throughout farm country. And now, when you drive through there, I didn't see very many of them. But really? I saw a lot of wind turbines, and that surprised me because we're talking about red states here. There are a lot of wind turbines now in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas and probably other places that I wouldn't have known if I hadn't set out on the road. I didn't realize the transformation that has occurred out there already, and I think we're going to see more of them. But yeah, this East Coast project, the New Jersey project that Biden has launched, will provide power for 10 million people. This is and without polluting the environment.
78 million metric tons of carbon dioxide emissions. That's how much it would cut by putting in these wind farms. My question for you, Buzz, as you see all these wind farms on the way to Kansas, did you actually end up seeing all the dead birds, too? Because Donald Trump said, oh, my God, the wind farms kill... You should look. Look at the base of the wind farms. So many dead birds.
Bob, the farmland was just covered with dead birds. And... street sweepers were going up and down the interstate to brush the dead birds aside that had been tossed asunder by the many. No, I saw no dead birds.
Fancy that Donald Trump was full of shit about the dead birds and the windmill cancer and whatever the fuck he was talking about.
And everything else.
If you have vehicle access to Pennsylvania, you can do this during the pandemic because there's no one there, but there's a fascinating town in... I want to say eastern Pennsylvania, but it's sort of north central Pennsylvania. It's called Centralia. And in Centralia, back, I believe, it was the early 1980s, an underground coal mine fire started due to human negligence, of course, and it's burning all underneath the town. And because there's coal under there, the coal just keeps burning. So to this day, that underground fire is still burning under this town called Centralia.
For more than 50 years now.
Yeah.
And it's one of 38 known active mining fires throughout the state of Pennsylvania, according to the Google that's popped up in front of me here.
Yeah.
And the State Department of Environmental Protection says the fire could burn for another century if left uncontrolled.
It's one of those things like you would see on The Simpsons where they had a landfill right next to the coal mine, and suddenly the fire that was in the landfill took on the coal in the coal mine and started this fire. The town is abandoned. It's like a ghost town. It's fascinating. I went up there one time. It was bizarre. It was eerie. It was strange.
Erie's a different town in Pennsylvania.
it's a monument to the fossil fuels. It's a monument to the damage that can be created by that. And the fascinating thing about Centralia and visiting Centralia is as you're standing there above an active mine fire and there's smoke and steam coming up through cracks in the old pavement and so on, you look up on the ridgeline above the town.
Yeah.
Windmills. So it's like you see a whole wind farm up there. So it's like
to blow the smoke away.
Wouldn't that be amazing if that was the actual reason for those windmills? But as you're standing there on a monument to fossil fuels, you can look up and see now a monument to green energy on the horizon. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
We really should think about putting out that fire, though.
I know. You got some water. Bring a bunch of buckets, and we'll see what we can do, Buzz.
Good Lord.
Drive up to Centralia. See if we can figure it out. Maybe we could just blow it out.
There are all kinds of little environmental nightmares awaiting us. Humans buried a bunch of dangerously radioactive material in the deep in the ice in the Arctic. Well, guess what? The ice melted. The ice is melting. Yeah, it's going to come back. And this fire continues to burn, and so do 37 other fires just in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We have a lot to attend to.
Yeah. Lots of comeuppance from our frivolity and stupid ideas. That's certainly something that we're all going to have to deal with at some point in the not too distant. We're dealing with it now. We're all dealing with it now because the climate crisis is underway. It's happening right now. Fun stuff. Yes, absolutely. So, all right, we're going to take one last quick break and we'll come back and wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Seska. It just missed you. It barely grazed you. The softest bullet ever shot. It flew right past without a thought and struck my head. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the great Jammin' Slate from San Diego. Song called Softest Bullet from their 2020 album, Is There Room in the Story for Us? JamminSlate.bandcamp.com. Oh, man, these guys remind me. This song reminds me of the Flaming Lips. This could be a track right off At War with the Mystics or something like that.
Nice.
And
nice.
I love the Flaming Lips. Oh, I used to love the Flaming Lips until they got super duper experimental and weird in the 2000s.
That is the prettiest song about a bullet you'll hear all day.
Oh, shit. Again, bobseska.com/music to submit your songs to the show. Okay, getting back to things here. Dr. Birx. and, you know, look, this is one of those things when we're talking about accountability for the Trump administration. This is the sort of shit that we really need to zero in on, as well as all the other things. I mean, but this would be toward the top of the list. Dr. Birx gave an interview with CNN Sanjay Gupta, Dr. Gupta, and essentially admitted that every death after the first 100,000 could have been, quote, mitigated or decreased substantially if they had taken the lessons they had learned from that moment, is what Dr. Birx said. Yeah,
Trump's fault, essentially. What we learned this week is that Trump is responsible for maybe as many as 450,000 deaths.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, I was looking at something
genocide.
Like, yeah, it's genocide by irresponsibility, genocide by electioneering or something.
Genocide with a smirk on his face. And I found myself asking the same question about this that I ask about Q. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Because his policies killed 450,000 people.
Yeah, and he's still at large. He's still at large playing golf and living at a goddamn country club and doing appearances and crashing weddings and shit like that. First of all, was he invited to that wedding that he turned up at? I don't know.
It was at Mar-a-Lago, so, you know, it's his place. I don't think anyone expected him to walk up and pick up the microphone and deliver 400 words of his own about himself and Joe Biden before congratulating the happy couple.
It just seems like a gigantic loophole in the system, doesn't it?
He's so screwed, Bob. I mean, he's less of a threat every damn day. He's never going to find a publisher to publish another book, and what's he going to write anyway? seriously. I mean, he's off Twitter.
Yeah.
He's no longer president. Investigations are closing in on him, and I know you've heard that before, but the Capitol insurrection investigation is methodically working its way toward him with the intention of including him.
Yeah.
How he will pay for the pandemic, I don't know. But that man is going to pay. His days being at large, being free, are numbered.
Well, and this is a dynamic we were talking about during the pandemic itself. We're still in it. Quite honestly, I was almost talking in the past tense.
Very much so. Yeah. I know so many people are, especially, you know, and if you've been inoculated. And I was very relieved to learn yesterday from the CDC that because I've gotten both of my shots and I've reached immunity, I will no longer be passing. I don't have to worry about passing it to others. I will still wear my mask as a courtesy, out of respect and out of patriotism when I'm around others. But the threat of me spreading COVID to someone else is just as nil as the threat of me getting it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to do. That's an amazing thing to do, to continue to wear a mask like that, because again, it sends the signal. It's about collective community action, and you know, people see other people not wearing masks and they go, I guess we're not wearing masks anymore, and they start to take off their masks, and that's a bad thing.
So much of America, Fox News, believes the pandemic is over. The people of Oklahoma and vast majority believe the pandemic is over, and other red states. I chose them randomly. Yeah. There's way too much of this. And even some progressives, I fear, may have reached the conclusion that this thing is over. We can go back to our lives. We cannot. A fourth surge is coming if we don't act seriously and fast.
Yeah.
Biden was not kidding yesterday when he urged mayors and governors to reinstate their mask mandates.
Yep.
I'm telling you, they have total lockdowns in European countries right now, and we are next if we don't pay attention.
And, you know, going back to the original topic here, which is Donald Trump's irresponsibility with the pandemic, and irresponsibility only begins to describe the malfeasance, the negligent homicide he's responsible for.
Right.
But the thing is, it wasn't just Trump. It was a good section, mostly his followers, but his other people too.
In the cabinet,
it was a lot of Americans who thought, hey, you know what, fuck it, I got to lead my life life and I'm entitled to lead my life. So fuck it. I'm going to go to pool parties and I'm going to go to the beach. And I'm going to do all this shit.
That's uniquely American. And we've seen this before in other matters. We see it certainly with guns. This is where a leader, a president steps in tries to lead the country and inspire the country and set an example for the country. And other responsible people do the same. When we had Trump and had no leader, in that regard, people felt even more entitled. Americans mm-hmm. felt even more entitled to avoid wearing masks, keeping their distance, and washing their hands because they refused to accept the reality of the pandemic.
And so it was a combination of things. When you got a population of people, and Donald Trump, notorious for pandering to anyone who might support him or latching his name to whatever movement that might be organically generating. It's like with Q. We saw, going back to what we were talking about initially on the show, in that Q documentary, there's a video clip of Donald Trump clearly pandering to the Q people by drawing the Q symbol in the air and talking about the storm is coming. Donald Trump doesn't even know what fucking Q is. He has no clue what an 8chan happens to be.
He just knows they like him, and he sees his political fortune in that.
That's
only
right.
He's blind and does not see that he has no political fortune.
That's exactly right. So whatever movement starts organically rising up, he's going to say, well, if there's any sort of ideological overlap, he's going to jump on that bandwagon.
Claim it as his own.
Yeah, absolutely. So you see people clamoring to get out and do things, and of course he reinforces that, and then people see, oh, the president's backing it with all the heft of the bully pulpit, et cetera. So I guess it's okay. Liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia, let's go.
And there were certainly others involved. There were certainly Trump supporting voters involved. There were Trump supporting White House officials and Trump supporting lawmakers in Washington who certainly contributed to making the death toll so much worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it all gets back to Trump. He was the leader. He's the guy they followed. He's the guy who set that policy.
So the dates keep getting moved closer and closer because of the success of Biden's vaccination program. He's now announced that 90% of adults will be eligible to get a vaccine starting on April 19th. Additionally, the federal government will increase the number of pharmacies participating in the pharmacy vaccination program from 17,000 to 40,000 locations. We're on pace in this country to administer 3 million vaccines a day. Biden, meanwhile, urged states to have eased masks and social distancing restrictions to reinstate those restrictions, saying, again, the war against COVID-19 is far from won, and that's absolutely true. We haven't crossed the finish line yet, so, you know, put down the party invitations and the streamers and the booze, because we're not partying yet. We're not there yet. We're close, but we're not there yet, so we all have to continue to be responsible and do the right thing.
Otherwise, you have to go back to your rooms. I mean, it really is that simple.
Yeah.
We need to talk about, whether we do it now or in the postmortem show, we need to talk about vaccine passports.
Yes.
Well, and how you feel about that.
Let's talk about that right now. I'm okay insofar as we have driver's licenses that we have to carry. We have Social Security cards that we have to carry.
You have to get your kids inoculated to get them into schools. You have to get inoculated to have certain jobs. You have to pass a physical to have certain jobs. There's nothing new about any of this other than the conspiracy theories that are attached to it. Here's what I really like about vaccine passports is that sports stadiums plan to require them for admission. Other venues plan to require them. Companies plan to require them for admission to their places of business.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a passport, you don't get in. If anything is going to push us over the top in getting past the remaining vaccine reluctance, which, by the way, is shrinking on its own.
Yeah.
But if anything is going to get us past that immunity threshold, that herd immunity threshold, it's going to be the vaccine passports that will push it over the top. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to go to a concert or you want to go to a game, you got to have a passport. You got a passport, you got to get both your shots.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? We talked about this a little bit before the show, Buzz, but I bet there are a lot more people who are getting vaccines who you all might know from Facebook or Twitter or whatever. People getting vaccines, but not saying anything about it. You know why? Because they don't want to have to re-engage with all of their family members again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good it's been a good excuse to stay home, hasn't it?
It really, really has. Those of us who are introverts are like, yeah, I'm okay with this self-isolation. It's not so bad.
I saw somebody posted. They said, I'm tired of, you know, screw you. You're tired. Stop your whining. You got a couple more weeks to go. If you could just behave yourself for a couple of more weeks, we won't have to send you back to your room.
Yeah, you know, I like that Johnson & Johnson vaccine because I get another 2 weeks after it to let it take effect. So I've got a little bit of a buffer, lots of buffers in the vaccine Excellent. Process. Yeah, yeah. So I'm still waiting for the call. Of course, I'm not of age yet, so I can't I can't have sex with women. I can't drink. I can't use drugs. I can't get the vaccine yet. I'm still a little
someday,
boy.
Yeah. Someday, Bob, you can be like the big kids.
Thank God. Thank God. Okay, so the Postmortem Show is still to come. When this music finishes, we keep on talking. It's called the Postmortem Show. We post it on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or very simply, BobSeskaShow.com. It's that easy to remember. Traditional spelling of sex, Seska, in case you don't know already. If so, why the hell are you listening to this show anyway? But
Today's Postmortem Show, I'll give them a little preview here. Today's Postmortem Show, I reveal... I am Q.
Oh, shit. Spoiler.
I'm sorry.
Spoiler warning. Oh, shit. It's too late. I knew it. You know what? I was watching the documentary. I go, you know what? That looks like something Buzz would write. It's all caps.
Mm-hmm. Cryptic.
Yeah. Were you doing your news scripts for Buzz Burbank News and Comment in all caps like you were doing? Because I remember you used to write your scripts in all caps back at JFK.
I did that because that's how teleprompters used to be, and now they use mixed case. So, in my latter years, I used mixed case.
Gotcha. Okay. Because the all caps Q drops, I'm like, Buzz Burbank. It's Buzz.
That's how I revealed my secret.
And that's when Trump said,
Buzz.
That's what he was talking about. He was trying to send a signal. He was trying to say that
Buzz
is Q. Oh, shit. Postmortem Show coming up next. Also, you can follow Buzz on Twitter, Michael J. Elston, at Michael J. Elston. Do we even have to say the at anymore when we're talking about Twitter?
No, just look for Michael J. Elston and or Buzz Burbank on social media.
Yes, indeed. All right. We'll see you on the Postmortem Show. John Melendez, Stuttering John from the Howard Stern Show and the Stuttering John podcast will be on the Wednesday show tomorrow. He was my first guest years ago, and now he's going to be not my last guest, but my next guest.
He's great.
All right, folks, take care. Bye-bye.